Okay, folks, we are running well ahead of time, but I'm just going to kind of plow on and introduce our last speaker this evening. This is a really special individual to me in my life. Came to these meetings a number of years ago, and offered to be of service, and has been and has been an integral part in what both us and NAIA have become, with his passion and love for this fellowship and his understanding of the traditions, his ability to actually let us know when we're going astray and not be shy about letting us know that and putting us right. And I love him for that. And you know, like he said earlier, you know, I've had the privilege of spending time with this person in the flesh. He's become more than a friend. I love him and miss him because I haven't seen him for a while, and I'm looking forward to being able to cross the pond again, hopefully next year, and spend some more time. So, without further ado, I'm gonna ask Jay if he would share his experience, strength and hope with us and talk about the growth of online NA and a little bit about virtual NA and what that means and what it represents to the online community. So Jay, over to you. The floor is yours, my friend.
I'm an addict. My name is Jay.
Hello, Jay.
Hey,
Can I
good morning, Jay.
want to
How's
apologize
going?
for the intro to Deb real quick because my headset was in the process of dying, so I can be heard better at this point. If I wasn't being heard, the headset was in the process of shutting down. I want to thank everybody who's here. I want to thank everybody who shared. And it's hard to believe that this is 10 years old. It's hard to believe that NA at Home is 10 years old. I found these meetings through this. It's a really quick story. I was out looking. I was looking in the town that the last place I used was a town called St. John's Ferry, Vermont. I got clean in Vermont, and when I got clean, there was no NA meetings. So a number of years later, I was looking in that town to see if there was a meeting, or if there were meetings in that town, just so I would know. And the funny thing is, there is one meeting, there's still one meeting in that town. It happens to be in one of the founders' houses, his family home of the other fellowship. And if you aren't aware, both the founders of the other fellowship are Vermonters. I'm not, I'm a Floridian. I'm sitting in the same town that I grew up in or where I came from. And this is home for me. I find that funny that the only NA meeting in town is in that house. But what is said on the front of the meeting list for the area, and that was the state of Vermont, the Green Mountain area at the time, if you can't get to a meeting, call this number. And that number was to something to a service that NABYPhone.com came out of. It was NAPhone.com at the time. And they had meetings. And they had a website and they had a Facebook page. And I started going to those meetings just to check them out. Because what I do for a living is work on computers. And the reality of it is I never thought about going to meetings on computers until this last decade. I've been to a lot of meetings. I consider myself very fortunate because when I did find Narcotics Anonymous, at a year clean, I found one of two meetings in the county I live in. And the way I found it is somebody whispered in my ear and said, there's a meeting down the street from drug addicts after this meeting. Do you want to go? And I looked at him and said, yep, I want to go. Because I knew what 12-step fellowships were at that point. I just celebrated a year. And I went to my first NA meeting. And what I found, it wasn't in a hall. It was on somebody's porch about four blocks away from the oldest clubhouse in this area, which just celebrated its 50th year of the other fellowship. And I went to the meeting, there was five people there, maybe six. None of those people are still in the area, and I don't know if they're still clean or not. But what I saw and what I experienced was the little white book of this fellowship. And when I picked it up and read it, I read Who's an Addict. And when I read that, I just said to myself, how do these people know who I am? Because that never happened in the other fellowship. I was told, switch words, change this. Every time you hear this, change it to that, cross this out. And that's how I was told to recover. I was very fortunate that my sponsor was one of the few addicts that was clean, living in the area. I believe that you get the people you need in your life when you're ready for them to be there. And I have been very fortunate in my life to have those people. Because he kept me clean, or helped me to stay clean for the first year, 18 months. We worked almost around the steps before I moved down here. He didn't make it. He died from this disease. But you don't know who's going to carry the message to who. And I got involved in Florida, in the area, in the region, and wound up becoming the alternate RSR. For those that don't know what that is, that's the regional service representative. They're now called regional delegates. And that's a whole other thing that I can go off on, but that's not what this is about. So I got involved in this fellowship on a worldwide basis very early in my recovery, less than 10 years clean, and went to the conference and met people from all over the globe. People from Australia, people from the UK, people from all over the place, and we talked all the time. Cost a lot of money to do that back then because it isn't like today where you've got WhatsApp and Signal, and you can call. I mean, it amazes me the amount of time that I spend on the phone today. and that it doesn't cost me a dime. Talking about recovery. When I found these, when I found the meetings on the phone lines, I started to think, if there are meetings on the phone lines, there's got to be meetings maybe online. And I looked, and the first thing that came up was Cigna, the website. So the website was here. So the website was up within a year of you guys getting into existence. There was only, I mean, it wasn't the same website that we have today. There wasn't a meeting list. It said there was one meeting a week, and that was on Saturday. And I came to the first meeting, and it was on Skype, and it told you how to get there. So I got on Skype, and I asked to be joined, and I came to the meeting. And part of the reason that this is a non-video meeting is because when the meetings were on Skype, the limitation of Skype, we didn't have that many people, but the limitation of Skype at that point was 9 people if you wanted to be on video. And most people didn't have the internet to be on video anyway. I mean, you could get up to 25 people in the room if you stayed non-video. And as the meeting grew, we chose to get more addicts in and to then go video. You don't want to see me. I mean, I learned through these meetings, it's easier to sit and listen to a message. And I know for me that my sponsor, when I was going to face-to-face, told me, if you have a problem with somebody, close your eyes and listen. Don't think about the messenger. Think about the message. And being non-video, that was real easy for me. And it was like, okay. And Steve told me about, well, we think we know, we've heard of meetings down in Australia. And shit, I've hopped the pond. I've gone to Scotland. Let's go see what's on the other side of the world. So I looked it up on Skype and said, can I join you? And I showed up at third. They had 2 meetings a week when I showed up. And there's some people here tonight that were in those meetings back in that day. And they had 4 or 5 people, and a couple of the people that I met in the beginning. I mean, the NA at Home started because a newcomer showed up. And what do when a newcomer shows up? We share our experience, strength, and hope about how any addict can get clean. Any addict can lose the desire to use and find a new way to live. I have watched these meetings. Cigna grow. People come, people go. Go through the growing pains. There's a core bunch of people. The core isn't the same, but there's part, the core is still here. The people, I mean, the 2 people that we hear on a consistent basis, week in and week out, we hear for years. I mean, life changes as we move on. meetings in, I mean, it grew here. It grew down in Australia. And the funny thing is, as we grew, I was banging a drum because other people were banging a drum about the fact that we weren't considered meetings. See, I had never seen a type of meeting or whether a meeting was legit or not ever be voted on in my first 20 years of service to this fellowship or in my first 20 years of being part of this fellowship. I mean, I was of the class that when a region showed up at the conference, welcome, come back next year, because the conferences were every year, and you will be part of us. You will vote. You will carry the help carry the concerts. When I went to the area that I live in as a GSR, how can we help? When I called the office, starting a new meeting, and I'm talking, I called the office probably 10 or 15 times in my first couple of years, starting meetings in this fellowship, and the guy on the end of the phone said, how can we help? Give us an address. We will send you literature. Let us register you. And it's like it was about help. When I started talking to the people that I had known, because I was involved back in the time that I was involved, and my sponsor was part of that thing for a long time, I knew most of the people that worked at the office. I mean, I hadn't talked to them in 15 years because it's like we all change over time. We all, I mean, if you're not involved in the immediate, you just don't have time to stay in contact with everybody. Not real contact. And when I started asking the question, oh, no, we don't do that. Virtual meetings are not real meetings. Gatekeepers. I wrote emails to the board. I wrote emails to lots of people, and it was like, this ain't going to happen. And you know what? There's a couple of things that I realized by coming into these platforms. First thing is that Narcotics Anonymous, no matter what happens with the service structure, and I'm going to put it like that, no matter what happens with the service structure, the fellowship is here forever. Because it's too easy today, as long as we have technology, I have found people in the last time I've been online that had the same beliefs about fellowship that I do. That it is about the traditions. It is about carrying a message, that like to talk about the traditions, that don't want to use the concepts to violate the traditions. I mean, it talks about in our basic text that traditions are not negotiable. Period. Done. Until we change that line, you can't use anything to try to get around the traditions. And the reality of it is I don't know what's going to happen. I know that when, as we started to grow, both Higna, both NA at Home, and there were some other things, there were some other people, there was a meeting before anybody went to Blue Jeans or Zoom or anything else. There was Earth Group NA. I mean, I knew I was going to their meetings. I mean, and there were some people that I've known for that long. Stay at Home NA out of Alabama. I mean, they existed on Skype. There were members on Skype that were around. I mean, if you didn't know they were there, you got it word of mouth, but it was very difficult. And it's when we, a year before, actually more than a year before, well, no, the year before the pandemic hit, everybody was growing. Skype was changing and Skype was becoming to create an ad hoc meeting, because that was what was so good about Skype. You could create ad hoc meetings. You didn't have to invite everybody. They didn't have to be in a group. What we did that made it easy, and the reason we did this is because when I got there, and I'm a tech geek. I mean, I looked at what was happening at NA at Home, and it could happen at Higna, and we did it the same way once we realized it at NA at Home. If you were online and in the group, you were invited to the meeting. You were actually sucked into the meeting even if you didn't come or not. And I would be sitting there looking at the stats on meetings, and there'd be 106 different identities in the meeting, and there was only 6 people. But each of those 106 or more pieces were taking a piece of the memory. And it was like, okay, this isn't going to work, because that's the way the platform worked at that time. It wasn't central. You weren't sitting there. So we changed that. We put out invites. If you want to come, come. If you don't want to come, don't come. You're not going to get sucked into the meeting. And it made the meetings better, because it wasn't crashing every time or all the time. When we started looking, because they were changing the platform and it wasn't working for ad hoc meetings anymore, it made it very difficult. We looked at BlueJeans, we looked at Zoom, we did comparison. The people that had any tech savvy, we were looking at it. And the reason we went with this platform is because it had the ability at that point. Zoom was charging a per minute call on phone lines. So if somebody dialed into the meeting, they were being charged. BlueJeans did not, and they had 40 countries around the world. This is 10 months before the pandemic. Lots of things changed after the pandemic, but we're looking, we didn't, nobody, who knew the pandemic was going to happen when it happened? And we made the decision that we went with BlueJay. Because NA at Home was the average month was any place between 3,500 minutes on phone lines to 5,000 minutes. And if you're getting charged 6 or 7 cents a minute for those minutes, do the math. It would have been $700 to $800 a month just for the people signing into with the phones. BlueJeans was seamless. We had one issue with one person and it got worked out over time. And the groups decided that they were going to stay non-video. They had the choice. You want to go video? No, they didn't want to go video. Hingham had the same choice. You want to go video? You can go video. When the pandemic hit, and something that also happened at that time was when we tried to make the change from Blue Jeans, because both areas, and I'll put it like that, both areas did it at the same time. Actually, in the same month. And we tried to get the office to change the listings on the website so they were no longer Skype and now BlueJeans. Three emails, five phone calls, and threatening to pull the meetings down. Just take them off the list if you're not willing to change them. And they finally changed them, but because of that, a number of addicts sat down and said, we need something else. We need a way for everybody around the globe to be able to find our meetings in a central location. And that group of addicts came up with virtual-na.org. And they worked with the BMLT guys to tweak it to virtual meetings because that had never been done. And at the time of the pandemic, there were almost 300 meetings on that database. When the pandemic hit, that had been up almost a year. When the office put out the email, which I thought was really funny, go online and go to the phones. We're closing the office. Have a nice day. They didn't, I don't think they said have a nice day, but that was basically their message. Go to the phone lines and go online. They didn't try to contact anybody. They knew who the people were who were out there doing online meetings. They knew of NA at home. They knew of Hygna. They knew of other people. They never contacted anybody. And it was like, okay. And the people that were here helped the people because it was done in a month. You know, I mean, if you look at the difference between March, or let's say 6 weeks from the, because it was the middle of March, and by the 1st of June, or actually before that, I mean, it just cascaded. People started meetings. Survivors who was around, Kentucky survivors who were there also, were holding workshops every weekend to get people up to speed. I mean, their meetings when this hit went from 20 people. I went to some of their meetings, 500 people when it first started, in a meeting. I mean, I think as addicts, we will do whatever we need to do to get whatever we need to get, whether we're clean or use it. We all did what we had to get our drugs. A lot of us do whatever we have to for our recovery. And the online meetings did that for me. They rejuvenated things because to put my whole life, puts what I love to do computers in with my recovery. I'd much rather bounce around the globe because that's what I did my first 10 years. I dealt with people in Australia, I mean, all over the place. Now I can bounce around. We've been broadcasting inventions for 6 years. It isn't new. Australia has been doing it for 6 years. So Sydney thinks you're doing it for the first time. I did it 6 years ago in Sydney at the Sydney convention. I have never set foot in Australia. I have been to multiple conventions. I do my recovery. A lot of my meetings are there. It's amazing what has happened to the fellowship. I look at it the same way I look at what happened when the basic text came out. And that's I thought about this a lot. When I got to the rooms, there were less than 1,600 meetings worldwide. I got here. If you listen to the first 20 years, if you listen to the share from the 20th anniversary of Narcotics Anonymous as a whole, there were less meetings than if you took Cigna and NA at Home and combined them. We have double the meetings. There were 18 meetings a week in 1973. In 1959, there were no meetings. They had died because we weren't following the tradition. Stories in the basic text, I found the only NA meeting in the world by Bob Barrett. He's passed. Today, I watched all kinds of meetings. Virtual NA has 2,700 meetings a week on it, almost 28. It fluctuates with people going up and down with people. That I look at that, and that's probably 10% of the total online meetings. Because those meetings on virtual are open. They want people coming to the meetings from all over the globe. There's a lot of meetings that just want to be localized. I never understood that, but maybe that's because my recovery has always, or for a long time, been global. Because as soon as I figured out I could go to conventions, and there were conventions to go to because there were people there that thought like I did, I hit every world convention for the first day. When I found the world conventions, I hit every world convention I could hit. Until life got busy. But I hit 10 world conventions. Because they were every year. Just like the conference, every year. So, with the pandemic, I watched this fellowship grow. I watched people get clean. People bitched, oh, we're not going to get the newcomers. We're not going to get this. We're not going to get that. I watched more people get clean. I watched people pick up. And I did this before the pandemic, but I watched I've heard of hundreds and thousands of addicts picking up 18 months, picking up year, picking up chips. And there's people that have never been to a face-to-face. Not because they're isolated, but because of the pandemic. And you know what? Narcotics Anonymous, if you look at what the stats were saying, was stagnant, at least in the States. I didn't look at the rest of it because it's not, I mean, I look at, I do what's best for me and my recovery. I don't worry about the rest of the fellowship because recovery is localized. My recovery is localized, it's globe. I fight for what I believe in. Or I stand up for what I believe in, which are the traditions and the fact that if you follow the group booklet, the one that was written originally, the one, any of the ones that have been written since, modified, even though they get a little weird some places, trying to separate what a group is and a meeting and words. We have, because of the pandemic and because the technology was there, we have opened up a whole new channel. And I've listened to so many newcomers. If you feel like using, you don't have to wait till 8 o'clock to go to a meeting. Hop on the meeting list. There's a meeting. If you can't find a meeting on that meeting list at a certain hour, there's a half a dozen marathons that have been going since the pandemic started. It's amazing. We are ingenuitous people. Not one individual, the fellowship. It's all of us together. And we have turned. And I don't know what's going to happen in 2023 when they vote on this. But if what I have seen since they have created the Super Board or the board of directors instead of the three individual boards that I was used to before they did that. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, go and look at the history. It's all over the internet. We used to have three boards, a board of trustees, which were the guardians of the traditions. We as the fellowship need the guard of traditions today. We had a board of directors of the office, and we had a board of directors for the World Convention. Now we have one board of 18 people, and they do it all. And when I was involved in the fellowship and the Conference of Gender report came out, the motions that were there from the regions that they got from the groups, that they got from the areas. And now if you look at the conference, and you can get all of this stuff online. Conference of Gender reports are out there. Going back to when I was in RSR. And you look at the Conference of Gender reports today, everything comes with the opinion of the board listed on it and what they think. And that never used to be. No set of addicts knows what's best for the fellowship all the time. Even though we all think we do, look at tradition too. We are mismanagers all. We all can't, I mean, just... That's what keeps me in check, because I know all my thoughts aren't good, and I bounce things off all kinds of people. But seeing that they've changed their mind because of the survey that I didn't fill out, so I thought it was skewed. They knew what my opinion was. They didn't have to ask. They had seen it in multiple emails. Quoting traditions, that 80%, 88% of the fellowship thinks online meetings are just like any other meeting, then maybe I find this funny because they never voted on face-to-face meetings, whether they were meetings or not. Why are we even bothering to vote on online meetings? It doesn't make any sense to me. Apologies, guys. We were wrong. Because I never found where they voted to say that they weren't, that the fellowship voted to say that they weren't real meetings. They threw some straw polls, but the fellowship never voted on it. It was never in a card. I mean, it boggles me sometimes, the politics that happen, when the reality of it is most of the people that come to meetings, all they want to know how to do is how to get clean, how to lose a desire to use, and find a new way to live. And as long as you can do that, and you're using NA literature, and you have a clear message of what this is, and you're following the rest of the traditions, you are in NA meeting slash group, depending on what you want to be. You want to be involved in the structure, then you're a group. What I figured out a long time ago, if you can have lots of meetings, you don't need to be a group unless you want to be involved in the structure. So we have come a long way as a fellowship. We have a long way to go. I don't know what the fellowship's going to look like in 20 years. I'll find that out 20 years from now. I plan to still be here. Come in the meetings. Because without coming to meetings, I'm a basket case. I've done that already. Don't want to do it again. I haven't missed a meeting in, let me see, 2000, no, over 9 years. I've gone to at least one meeting a day. And one meeting a day, most days it's two or three, because I have that capability because of online. If I feel squirrely, I can go find the meeting. That is something I couldn't do before online meeting. I had to wait. I had to go find somebody. My sponsor was in California. I can't call him. We are such a different time and place. We are such a different fellowship. Thank you, pandemic. I'm not sure if any of this would have happened if it wasn't for the fact that that happened. It changed us, and it changed the rest of the globe. Because everybody's looking at everything differently, and we are just a microcosm of the rest of the world. So I thank you all for being here. I thank you all for being part of this, because you know what? I can't do it by myself. And the people that are involved in everything behind the scenes, and you all know who we are, whether it's HIGNA, NA at home, virtual NA, these groups up in South Carolina. I mean, it's all been here. We're all part of the same thing. We're all trying to do the same thing. We all do it together. And that's why this works. Recovery is based on our unity. So thank you for allowing me to be here. Have a great day, a great afternoon, a great evening. Thank you, Steve. I don't even have any idea how long I talked.